Excuse me. I'll have an appointment with Dr. Watson for a complete medical checkup. Excuse me. I'll have an appointment with Dr. Watson for a complete medical checkup.
Dr. Watson will see you within 4 hours.
Plum, I might not last that long.
Oh, sit down. Let's get a good seat up the front. I know why I want to come here in the first place. You're in perfect physical condition for a person in your physical condition and age.
Well, I've never really felt the same ever since Mrs. Woolley made those astrological predictions.
You shouldn't take any notice of Mrs. Woolley. She's the only palmist I know who predicts the future by looking at the soles of your feet.
Well, she says, your left foot is what you're born with and your right foot is what you make of it.
What a load of rubbish. You're born with both feet. You're not just born with your left foot and then the baby has to make his right foot up on the spot. It's a stupid idea.
I don't think Mrs. Woolley meant it in quite the naively literal way you are intimating, Pete.
Oh, in what brilliantly sophisticated, unliteral way did she mean it in then?
What she meant was that your fate's on your feet.
Your fate's on your feet?
Yeah. And when she had a look at my left foot, she staggered back.
Well, don't blame her. I think any human being would stagger back from your left foot, Dad.
No, she didn't mean that at all. When she was reading my foot, she had a look at it. She was holding it in her hand. She had those rubber washing up gloves on, you know.
Oh, I know them, yeah.
Keep it sanitary and all that. And she said, Dad, your fate's on your feet. And do you know what she said? You are not long for this earth.
Well, this seems a very fair statement of fact. I mean, whatever your many virtues may be, Dad, and let's not minimise them, length is not one of them. You are not. Let's face it, you are not long for this earth. You're on the short side for this earth. Perhaps on another planet you might tower over the extraterrestrial beings, but down here, Dad, you are a bit on the short side.
Yeah, well, point taken, Pete.
Good.
What I think she meant was that most people's lifelines go from their big toe to the heel, but mine was cut off in the middle.
Well, that's when you trod on that razor blade, wasn't it, in the sitting room?
You see, all you have to do is leave one of your rusty old razor blades in the living room on the floor and my life is cut in half. But what I think is worse than that is that I think she's put a curse on me.
What makes you think that?
Well, when she was reading my foot, she's looking at the lines, you know, she tickled my instep and I jumped, you know, because I'm a bit ticklish on the feet. And I bunged her up the nose with my big toe.
And you think she's holding that against you?
Well, I was holding it against her at the time. But now I think the situation's drastically reversed. I think she's holding it against me. I think she's put a curse on me. I think she's made an effigy of me. She's sticking pins at my effigy.
And you think this is the reason why you're getting pains in the chest, is she's sticking pins up your effigy?
Yeah.
Well, if you believe all this mumbo-jumbo, Dad, and let's face it, that's all it is, mumbo-jumbo, if you believe this mumbo-jumbo, all you have to do is make an effigy of Mrs. Woolley, then just before you feel a pain coming on, now this is important, just before you feel the pain coming on,
just before,
stick a pin in her effigy. If you stick a pin in her effigy first, she won't be able to stick it. You stick before she can stick you, you see.
But I've got better things to do with my time, mate, than stick pins up Mrs. Woolley's effigy all day.
Like what, for example?
Well, I mean, I'm growing that mustard and cress in the shape of the Union Jack on my flannel.
Well, this is a very vital part of the Backing Britain movement, I admit, Dad. I suppose she also asked you what star you're born under.
Yes, she said, what star you're born under, Dad? So I said Mickey Rooney, because my mum had a picture of Mickey over her bed when she was having me.
Oh, yes, she used to worship the ground he walked on, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she loved him, loved Mickey. And she wrote to him, she said, dear Mick, send us a bit of the earth you walk on, because I love you, I worship the ground you walk on. And he sent her a bit of the earth he walked on. We had it in the living room.
Really?
Yeah. But my dad bunged it out the window.
Threw it right out of the window?
He bunged it out the window. He said, we're not having that sod in here.
Well, you can't blame him, really, can you?
No, you can't. But then she said, no, I don't mean that sort of star. I mean, what sign are you?
Well, astrological sign.
What zodiacal sign are you born under? So I said, I am the ram.
Aries.
Mercurial, quixotic.
Tempestuous, given to sudden flights of fancy.
For Valerie Pearson at 4 a.m.
Exactly.
outgoing, ingoing, avoid brunettes, lucky number 4. And
steer clear of steamrollers.
Yeah, all that.
Load of rubbish, in fact.
Well, I don't know, you see, with all this information she had about me and all the things she was telling me, it was uncanny. I think she is a cult.
You think she's a cult?
I think she is a cult. I think, in fact, she has second sight.
I think she's got double vision. The amount of beer she puts back of an evening, I went down there the other Friday for one of her combined bingo and black magic sessions.
Oh, what, down her basement?
Yeah, she has them down in the basement. It's quite cosy. I went down there with a group of people, including Mr. Prendergast.
Oh, yes.
You know, just as curious human beings, just to see if there was anything in it.
Of course.
And sure enough, there was something in it.
What was that?
Mrs. Woolley sitting in the end of the basement at the table, you see. She had a tea cosy all over her head.
All over it?
Oh, not all over it, just the eyes peeping out.
Yeah.
Just down to here, you see. And in her left hand, she had a fish fork. And in her right hand, she had a frozen fish finger. For sacrificial purposes, you see. For summoning up the devil. Normally, she slits a cockerel's throat over an upturned tea chest and says Land of Hope and Glory backwards. But she'd been out on the booze a bit the night before and she's a bit short of cash, so she may do with a fish finger.
Sacrificial fish finger.
A sacrificial fish finger.
Say that six times quickly.
If you possibly can.
Sacrificial fish finger, sacrificial fish finger.
I'd rather you didn't, if you don't mind. And suddenly, she switched off the light.
Click.
Very similar to the noise you just made then. And a strange chill come over the room. Due in no small measure to the fact she left the fridge door open when she's going for the fish finger. And the room was lit only by a guttering candle which flicked eerie shadows everywhere.
Gutter, gutter.
Gutter, gutter. And suddenly she began to moan and tremble as if seized by an alien force.
More like Mr. Prendergast, he gets a bit itchy at night.
Well, she was sitting next to Mr. P, and she moaned and she trembled, and suddenly out of her mouth come a strange tongue.
Somebody else's tongue, Pete?
No, her own tongue come out, but she spoke in a strange, ethereal, mystic voice that was not her own. And suddenly she said,
"The doctor will see you now."
Blimey, that's uncanny. I didn't see your lips move.
Well, as in most of these cases, Dad, there is a rational explanation for that fact. The reason my lips didn't move was I wasn't speaking. You were, in fact, being addressed by a lovely nurse behind you.
Oh, the doctor will see you now.
Oh, thank you.
If we could get going, thank you very much. This is very good. I don't know what's the matter with you, Dad, but we're going to the antenatal clinic.